So let me ask you a question. Do you ever get angry at God? I imagine that you do. But do you ever bring that anger to church? That's a little bit trickier, isn't it? The big question that we have today is, how do we deal with emotions at church? Because you know how it goes, right? There's the standard church narthex conversation. We go like this. Hey, Denise, how you doing?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Good. Yeah, and you asked me. Yeah, you just said, see, it was a natural instinct. She said, good, how you doing? I say, oh, good. Have a good week. All right, you too. Good. Right? How many of you have ever had that conversation? Yeah, like 1,000 times, right? Well, how many times have you had that conversation? And when you said the word good, inside you were saying, I wish I could tell you that I'm actually dying inside right now. I am so broken. I am so hurting. There is so much going in my life that I don't know what to do. Can you imagine if we did that? And I came up and you said to me,
hey, Steve, how's it going?
And I started pouring my guts out to you right there, right? If you started doing that to me, I'd be like, where's the exit door? I mean, right? So, I mean, because you think about it, I mean, look around. This is an upper Midwestern Lutheran suburban church. We are predominantly descendants of Scandinavians who have no idea how to deal with emotions. I think Scandinavians came from Vulcan, right? Emotions just aren't allowed in culture, let alone coming to church. Pastor Rolf, earlier this week when he was talking to the staff prepping us for this week, he told us the story of the Danish church, where the Danish church was split right in half between those who believed that you could be happy in church and those who believed that you couldn't be happy in church. So there are the happy Danes and the sad Danes. Any happy Danes or sad? No, you wouldn't want to admit that, right? So how do we deal with emotions in church? Well, I want to just talk about emotions themselves, right? We talked in our children's message about this wonderful movie, Pixar's movie, Inside Out. I love this movie so much. It's one of the best movies ever made. And I just watched it again Friday night to get it back into my mind, right? It's the story of this 11-year-old girl named Riley and how all of the emotions start developing in her life. And these five emotions that we see here, let's name them out loud together. There's joy, sadness, fear, disgust, and anger. Oh, I didn't do it in the right order. Sorry. threw you way off on that one. But that's the order that they show up in the story. And these five emotions, we all have them. But if we don't understand them properly and we don't use them properly, they can actually become very dangerous in our lives. Because if we look at that first emotion of joy, everybody wants joy, right? I mean, joy makes us feel good. When good things happen, there's this chemical, these endorphins released in the brain that make you feel good. That's God's good drugs, right? But if we believe that joy is the only good emotion, then sometimes we can seek it at all costs, which is why people take false drugs of a good emotion to always stay high, which becomes empty and hollow and destroys us. But it's because we believe that that's the only good emotion. Now, the second emotion that showed up in this movie was sadness. And when we think that sadness is bad, like Joy did. Remember Joy in the movie? She's like, I'm going to make a little circle here. We're going to call this the circle of sadness. Keep all the sadness inside the circle. Because she thought that sadness was bad. And if we think sadness is bad, then it can lead us, when we experience sadness, it can lead us into depression and into a very deep and dark pit that might seem like we can't get out of it. And then there's fear, right? And if we think fear is bad, or if we have all of these emotions disconnected and we don't know how to use them properly, then fear can actually take control of the console and can imprison us in this anxiety-ridden life. To be anxious in everything, right? Which can become a prison cell. And then there's disgust. And when disgust is separated from the other emotions and is ruling things, disgust can actually lead us to separating ourselves from things and people and hurt people. And then there's that emotion of anger. And as Christians, we think that anger is bad. I mean, because you have to be nice. If you're a Christian, you have to be nice, right? Just be nice. Can't be angry. But here's the thing about these emotions. All of these emotions are gifts from God. If we understand them as gifts from God and understand that we need all of them. Because joy, obviously, joy is good. Joy makes us feel good. But joy is not the only good emotion. This is what I loved about the movie Inside Out. Because sadness, I'm ready. I just love her character, first of all. But she actually becomes the hero of the story. Because what joy realizes is that joy actually needs sadness. Because sadness helps us process the reality of a very messy world. Sadness cleans us out. It helps us to cry candy, right, when we're the imaginary friend. And makes us actually feel better if we handle our grief properly. And in this movie, all of Riley's emotions became a mixture of joy and sadness and all of the others, right? So joy and sadness work together because you can't know joy without sadness. Then those other three emotions are actually gifts from God to protect us. Fear is a gift from God. Fear is good because, man, if you didn't have fear and that rabid dog was running after you and you didn't run away, that would be a bad situation for you. And disgust is a gift from God to protect you from disease. Just this last week, we discovered that there was black mold growing in our downstairs bathroom, in the boys' bathroom. It took us a long time to discover it because it was in the boys' bathroom. But it got so bad that they even noticed it. If we didn't have disgust, we would have mold in every part of our house. But now, because of disgust, they came and cleaned out the mold. And then there's anger. Did you know that anger is a good gift from God? I think of anger as a warning siren. When someone violates a boundary in your life, when somebody goes into a place that they should not go, whoop, whoop, anger. It is a good gift from God. And when you become angry, you need to ask yourself, what has been violated? You see, all of these gifts are good, and they work together if we understand them as gifts from God. Now, if you have too much anger, you got to check, maybe you have too many boundaries, right? You have to keep them all in balance. But how do we bring these emotions into church? You know, as we were preparing for this sermon, and I discovered that I was preaching on it, I got a little worried. A little fear kicked in. Because as a pastor, we ask ourselves that question a lot. How much of ourself should we bring to this place, right? Because, I mean, we're pastors. We're supposed to be leaders. We're supposed to have, you know, the world is crazy and messy, and when people come to church, they need to know at least one person has it together, right? Well, let me tell you something. Pastors have feelings too. And as I was coming to this sermon, I realized, you need to know that. I've been here 2 months. And I have to be honest with you. These last 2 months for me have been way harder than I thought they would be. Last summer, when I knew that God was calling me to a new place, I'd been in a church for 7 years, you know. I knew that God was calling, and when Pastor Chris called and said, hey, I've got this opening, this job, and I really think you'd be great for it, you know. When we started having those initial interviews, that was exciting. It was kind of thrilling, you know. You get into it, and you're like, yeah. But then when we finally got the call, and we put our house on the market in March, since that day, we have been working our butts off. Getting the old house ready to sell. Pastor Brandon knows all about this, right? Getting the old house ready to sell. And then you move into the new house. And they didn't get it nearly as ready as we got ours ready to sell, you know. So we've been doing all this work in there. And so I'm physically exhausted from all the work. But what surprised me was the grief. You know, a few weeks ago, I came into a meeting with a bunch of people, and there's this one guy, very insightful man, and he said, so, Pastor Steve, you've moved, started a new job, and you've had a death in your family. Three of the four major life crises in the last 6 weeks. How are you doing? And I have to be honest, in that moment, it was everything I could do to not just start sobbing right there in the middle of that meeting. The grief has surprised me. When you spend 7 years with a congregation, you get to know people. And you walk through the narthex or you go into the grocery stores and you can have an entire conversation with a glance. But here, in the last 2 months, when I look into the eyes of people at Easter, I see the blank stares of strangers. It has been incredibly lonely. Now, I know that will change. I know that we will share life together, and in 7 years, I'll feel the same way. But pastors have feelings too. And you need to know that we're not the rock solid that you need. We're here to point you to the rock that is our solid, that is Christ. Because Jesus himself, Jesus had emotions. Now, Jesus shared all of these emotions. Jesus knew joy. I mean, that guy knew how to party. You bring him to a party, he turns the water into wine, right? He knows joy. But Jesus also knew sadness. When his friend Lazarus died, he just sobbed. And when he looked out over the city of Jerusalem, he wept for them, knowing their destruction that was coming. And Jesus knew fear. Jesus was afraid of the cross. He asked God to remove this from him. And Jesus knew disgust. In Revelation, one of the messages that Jesus gives to one of the seven churches is he says, "Your lukewarmness makes me want to puke." And he was disgusted by the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. And Jesus knew anger. Jesus knew, remember the story when he came into the temple and the people were abusing the poor people for money? He got so angry that he threw over the tables and drove them out with a whip. I like to call this the emoticon Jesus. The question is, how do we bring these to the church? When we ask questions like this, we need to look at Scripture. Oh, I left my Bible down there, Pastor Brandon. Thank you, sir. So when we ask these questions, we need to look at Scripture. And I have four quick passages of Scripture that if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to look at. If you don't, maybe jot them down and look at them later. But the first thing we need to look at is in Psalm 142, David wrote these words. He said, "With my voice I cry to the Lord. With my voice I make supplication to the Lord. I pour out my," what? "Complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him when my spirit is faint. You know my way. You see, David was known as a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect or because he had it all together, but because he was honest with God. He brought his whole self to God, and when he was angry, he complained to God. We should have a complaining worship service. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think we should do that. Write that down. That's good. Be honest with God. The second thing is in 1 John chapter 4. It says this in verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I have to pause for a moment, because this verse and verses like it have been misused many times. See, fear is the same as anxiety. We live in a very anxious world. My son, one of my sons, has a very serious diagnosis of anxiety disorder that crippled him in high school. He was not able to complete his first year of college. And my family, I am descended from people who have a long history of mental illness. I understand that we are complex creatures of biochemical beings. And sometimes in some Christian traditions, they tell you that if you're a good Christian, you wouldn't be anxious because of verses like this, right? I'll just tell you right now, that's a lie. Sometimes we need medication to help us get to a place where we can even be able to hear the truth, right? But I also think that as a society, anxiety is epidemic because as a culture, we have forgotten that God actually loves us. And so much of Christianity has become this performance-based thing where God will love you if you do the right thing, if you do this, if you do that, then God will love you. And we reinforce that with our parenting. If you do this, then you'll be a good child. Well, let me tell you this. Jesus tells us that God loves you. Period. That's good news. And if we could actually believe that God loves us, perfect love drives out fear. Amen? Love wins. And that's the gospel we need to share. Now, the third scripture that we need to look at is the scripture that we read together in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said these words. He said, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. My guess is that many of you right now are carrying heavy burdens. If you're a parent, you're carrying heavy burdens. Do you believe that Jesus spoke these words to you? He said, come to me. I can handle whatever it is you're carrying. But that begs a question for me. How? How can Jesus carry our burdens? And that's the fourth verse in Galatians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul said to the church, the Apostle Paul says to us in Galatians 6 verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I've never looked into the physical eyes of Jesus before. I've never heard his audible voice tell me, come, I'll carry your burden. But I have actually looked into the eyes of Jesus. You know when? Right now. As I look into your eyes, I'm looking into the eyes of Jesus. The way Jesus carries our burdens is through us. Which is why the final thing I want to leave you with is this. It is hard to process real emotions in a large group. And the larger a church gets, the smaller a church needs to get. And this is why we need these things called life groups. If you are not connected in a small group of some kind, where when you get together, somebody says, "How are you doing really?" And then they take the time to listen, then you're missing out on what church is supposed to be. All of our emotions are good gifts from God. And when we bring them to God and we carry them with each other, then we are carrying on the work of Jesus Christ. Amen.